Today is Friday, November 20th. What to know about Georgia's recount results as states begin to certify their votes, and how President Trump's team is now said to be going beyond lawsuits to keep challenging the election outcome. Then some of the strongest warnings yet from the nation's top health agency, this time about Thanksgiving. Plus a little good news in the fight against HIV. Two digital media companies are joining forces, and a sanctuary on a mission to protect millions of animals. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The recount has now confirmed it. President-elect Biden won the state of Georgia, and today the state will make it official and certify the votes. The deadline is 5 p.m. Biden has now won Georgia by more than 12,000 votes, making him the first Democratic presidential candidate to win the state in 28 years. And with that, it seems President Trump's path to victory is even more narrow. But he's still not giving up. In fact, Reuters cites three sources who say President Trump is trying a different tactic now and looking to persuade fellow Republicans to intervene on his behalf in battleground states. According to Reuters, and a few other outlets also reporting similar elements of this, Trump's lawyers are targeting state legislators in Michigan and Pennsylvania, and reportedly hoping Trump-friendly lawmakers will appoint their own electors. Remember, electors are the people behind the electoral votes that we're always talking about. Each state has a certain number, and then those electors, or state election representatives, literally go and vote to formally elect the president of the United States. Most of the time, electors are just there for a procedural reason. And they choose whichever candidate got the most votes from citizens in their state. In fact, most states require them to choose that candidate. But 17 states allow so-called faithless electors, who choose to vote differently than the popular vote in their state. And so this new report says Trump's team is now counting on faithless electors. That said, right now it looks like the Electoral College count is 306 for Biden, 232 for Trump, and the benchmark to win is 270. So let's do the math. Trump would need 38 faithless electors to change the outcome. And there's usually only just a couple here and there. So it seems, at least, it's unlikely Trump will be able to get enough faithless electors to change the outcome of the presidential race. But we'll see. All election disputes must be resolved by December 8th, and the electors officially cast their votes this year on December 14th to formally select the next president. To be continued. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo made history in the Middle East. He became the most senior U.S. diplomat to visit an Israeli settlement in the West Bank. This has been an area of contention since the 60s. Israel has been trying to control the West Bank for the last few decades, but Palestinians believe it's their territory. And already last year, Pompeo sided with Israel, saying the U.S. no longer viewed Israel settlements in the West Bank as a violation of international law. And that sparked some backlash from Palestinians. Well, fast forward to this week. Pompeo met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and the Secretary of State announced a new policy of allowing products made in the West Bank settlements to be labeled as made in Israel when they reach the U.S. This goes against the guidelines set back in 1995 by then-President Bill Clinton that said items should be labeled just as made in West Bank. In response to Pompeo's latest visit, one Palestinian negotiator accused Pompeo of setting yet another illegal precedent, violating international law. So it's not clear yet if the policy will change again under the next president. Stay tuned. The CDC held its first public briefing in months to warn Americans about the upcoming holiday season. The doctors and scientists asked Americans not to travel for Thanksgiving, saying if you do, it'll increase your chance of getting and spreading COVID-19. Already, they call the rising number of cases alarming. The U.S. reported more than a million new cases the last week alone, and hospitalizations and deaths are also on the rise. The warning wasn't just about travel either. The CDC's COVID-19 incident manager said he's concerned about anyone coming together outside of their so-called household bubble. This week, the CDC also redefined its definition of household. Now it says that only refers to people living in your home the last 14 days. So that means college students living on college campuses should be ruled out this year. Of course, this guidance is not a mandate, but the CDC says it's strongly recommended. And so officials ask, if you are planning to gather with others anyway, consider wearing a mask in your home and trying to improve ventilation inside. By the way, some states do have mandates now that say no gatherings with 10 people or more, though critics argue it's tough to enforce. Meanwhile, California is the latest state to put an overnight curfew in place. Ohio already imposed its overnight curfew that started yesterday. Tomorrow is your last chance to claim your relief payment from the federal government. We're talking about the direct payments for most Americans Congress approved back in March as part of the CARES Act. Still, some people who were eligible for a check or direct deposit never got anything. CNBC says if you're one of them, it's likely because the IRS does not have your information on file. So you'll need to give it to them by 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, as in Saturday. We've included a link in today's show notes. By the way, if you miss tomorrow's cutoff, all is not lost. You may be eligible to receive a tax credit when you file your taxes next year. More news is coming up, but first, thanks to our sponsor today, Magic Spoon. I used to eat cereal as a kid. In college, I switched to the so-called healthy kind that didn't taste very good, to be honest. And then I just stopped eating cereal for years because I didn't think there were any good options. Well, that has now changed thanks to Magic Spoon. First of all, Magic Spoon cereal tastes amazing. My favorite is definitely the new flavor, peanut butter, but I also enjoy their best-selling fruity, frosted, and blueberry flavors too. And yet, I can feel good about eating it. Magic Spoon has zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, soy-free, and GMO-free. So go to magicspoon.com/newsworthy to build your own custom variety box and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code newsworthy at checkout to get free shipping. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/newsworthy and use the code newsworthy for free shipping. Now back to the news. A little good news in the fight against HIV. The CDC says American deaths related to HIV fell by nearly half from 2010 to 2018. Researchers say the decline is likely the result of better diagnoses, treatments, and medical care. However, there is a lot more work left to do. HIV infection rates and deaths are still higher in Black people than in the rest of the population, and the death rate is about twice as high in southern states as in the Northeast. The epidemiologist who led the latest study says it all has to do with how early people get diagnosed and how much ongoing care they receive. One infectious disease expert at Johns Hopkins University went a step further, telling the New York Times the reason some groups are doing better than others has to do with community engagement. She pointed to the fact that infections and deaths have drastically declined among gay men. She thinks that's because they have a solid support network that's learned how to prevent and combat HIV. But with other people, the stigma could be keeping them from acknowledging the virus, getting tested, or getting treated. There's also a fear the COVID-19 pandemic could be getting in the way of outreach for HIV and AIDS, and we could see trends go in the wrong direction once again. To be continued. It's the end of an era. One of the world's most famous and powerful telescopes is getting torn down. We're talking about the telescope at the Arecibo Observatory in Puerto Rico. For nearly 6 decades, scientists have used the telescope to search for planets, asteroids, and even alien life. But back in August, something went wrong. One of the telescope's cables snapped, tearing a 100-foot hole in its reflector dish. Then earlier this month, another cable snapped. At this point, the telescope is on the verge of collapse, and engineers say there's no way to safely fix it. So the National Science Foundation says it needs to be demolished. Astronomers who have worked there over the years are disappointed. They had even dubbed it the Scientific Queen. In fact, some 90,000 tourists visit it each year. And as the New York Times reports, it even cemented itself in pop culture. The observatory was featured in movies like Contact, starring Jodie Foster, as well as the James Bond movie GoldenEye. Now the hashtag, what Arecibo means to me, is popping up all over Twitter. People are sharing photos of themselves working there, visiting, and even getting married there. BuzzFeed is taking over HuffPost, which used to be known as the Huffington Post. The Wall Street Journal reports BuzzFeed is buying the media company from Verizon in an all-stock deal, uniting two of the larger players in digital media as they both look to jumpstart growth. In case you're not familiar, BuzzFeed and HuffPost are both incredibly popular websites that specialize in news and entertainment, so their products are pretty similar. BuzzFeed estimates its audience will now grow by nearly a third thanks to this deal. As Variety reports, it's not clear yet if anyone is going to get laid off because of the sale, but for now, it sounds like both websites will stay up and operate separately. PayPal just launched its own version of GoFundMe. It's called the Generosity Network. And just like GoFundMe, it'll let people raise money for a good cause. They'll be able to create a public fundraising page where they can upload photos, explain what the money will be used for, and how much they're hoping to get. But there are differences as well. On the Generosity Network, fundraising drives will only last 30 days and they have a cap of $20,000. Also, PayPal is not charging a transaction fee on donations made with credit and debit cards, although TechCrunch reports it will eventually. For comparison, GoFundMe charges a nearly 3% transaction fee. The Generosity Network is live now. Wrigley Field has now been designated a National Historic Landmark. The iconic ballpark is home to the Chicago Cubs. It's been around for 106 years, and this new designation means Wrigley Field will now be federally protected. The Department of the Interior made the designation, calling Wrigley a national treasure. Wrigley Field is the second ballpark to get this designation. The first was Fenway Park back in 2012. That one is home to the Boston Red Sox and is the oldest ballpark in Major League Baseball. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Feel Good Friday, where we bring you one extra feel good or positive news story before the weekend. But first, this episode is brought to you by Fitbod. Fitbod is a smart fitness app that learns about your abilities more and more with each of your workouts and plans exercises designed to maximize your results. No more wondering what workout you should be doing today or how to switch it up. I like that Fitbod always cycles new exercises into the mix to keep workouts fun and fresh. And you can use it anywhere, whether you're at home, at the gym, or on the road. I've created two setups that I can easily switch between on the app, one using just my body weight and one using my at-home equipment. But if you prefer going to the gym, it can incorporate all of that equipment as well. Fitbod workouts are balanced to give you results while also avoiding overworking the same muscles, and it's super easy to use. Plus, it's way more affordable than personalized training in person. So get a personalized fitness plan that helps you work out smarter at fitbod.me/newsworthy. Try Fitbod for free for one whole month when you sign up today at fitbod.me/newsworthy. That's one free month when you sign up at fitbod.me/newsworthy. And now back to Feel Good Friday. Today we're talking about a new marine sanctuary that's now the largest in the Atlantic Ocean. It's roughly 250,000 square miles between South America and Africa. Its mission is to protect birds, sharks, whales, seals, and penguins from things like fishing and illegal mining. The new sanctuary was designated by about 250 people living on a tiny island called Tristan da Cunha. The Guardian says they wanted to do something huge to protect the wildlife, so they made most of the water surrounding their island into a safe haven for animals. The island is actually a British overseas territory, too, so the UK is going to enforce the wildlife protections there. Experts say this will pay off in the long run. A recent study from the University of California and National Geographic Society found that banning fishing in 5% of the ocean would actually boost global fish catches by 20% in the future. All right, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with our special edition Saturday episode tomorrow and another news roundup on Monday. Until then, have a great day.